Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, NordVPN.com, and AthleticGreens.com.
Football might be over this season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. Obviously, wearing my Sixers gear. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. Right to the Olympic coverage is the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey there, Marcus Dash here, co-host of Chief Concerns. At the conclusion of this episode, please make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast right here on YouTube. And for all you listeners out there, please be sure to give us a five-star review on any of the platforms you use to listen to us. I want to thank you all for listening to us throughout the season, and we look forward to engaging with you all throughout the offseason. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. Tonight, we got a little different look here. Our boy Eric's out with his birthday celebration, so he might stop by for a little bit. But tonight, we have our resident tight end, Jason Dunn. And we got everyone at Chiefs Game definitely knows this guy. It's Nick Athan from formerly War Paint Illustrated, but now he's the CEO and senior writer for Primetime Sports Talk. And of course, everyone knows him at Chiefs Insider on Twitter. So Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, gents. Thanks for having me on. Jason, it's great to see you again. It's been a minute.
It's been a while, Nick. Hey, look, man, brother, look, it's always great to see you. And the thing is, when I first got on Twitter, you know, I'm kind of new to Twitter, to be honest with you. And so when I started kind of following people and whatnot, and I was like, oh, man, it's Nick. I had to follow you immediately. And so I'm sure I'm liking every little thing that you're saying. You know what I mean? Because you're my guy.
I told you.
Yeah. And Mike, too, you know, used to work there. Like I would just say, man, y'all guys were just so gracious when I was playing during that time, coming in and didn't. Y'all weren't really intrusive with like the questions and the microphone like in your face all the time. You know, y'all had a demeanor about y'all just like, hey, you know, how you doing? What do you think about this? And I enjoyed it. It was like one of those things.
Thank you.
You, there's certain guys you're in a locker room that you don't mind talking to. And so when you're real easy with them, then you can sit down and have a great conversation. And that's what it feels like. Just feels like just a regular conversation as opposed to like coming in and, you know, what are you having for dinner tonight? You know, it was just one of those things, you know, so.
I try not to take myself too seriously. And, you know, I just was a fan who got lucky. I mean, I've been around this team my whole life. I mean, Bobby Bell and Hank Stram were my neighbors growing up. So, you know, I've been with this team for 50 plus years and I've enjoyed every minute. And I got lucky to start War Paint Illustrated with you on the cover.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh,
you signing that for me? Much appreciated. But you know, we had a good time with Mike Nugent and myself and Clayton, and you know, we just had a good time, and we tried not to take ourselves too seriously. You know, we were fortunate we had guys like you that were just real people and treat us like real people. And listen, we saw the stuff we weren't supposed to see, and we heard the things we weren't supposed to hear, and we kept our mouth shut, you know. And so, you know, it was a lot of fun, and I don't regret any of it. I spent about 20 years covering the Chiefs for various publications, but Warpaint and the podcast we did Out of Bounds, and I think you might have been on it once. We just had a great time, and you made it a lot easier because you would always give me a hug. I thought you were going to break me, but it was good times. It was a different era. It's not like that anymore. You know, it's very difficult to be friends with players and do the things that we did back then and just hang out and be real people. So it's different.
Right. Right. And you know, it's like you were saying, like you was kind of, when you're going out, you kind of hanging out with guys and stuff like, hey man, what are you doing? Come in, you know, let's go have a drink and, you know, sit down and talk and chat, man. Just like, you know, buddies. And that's really what you were. You was kind of, you know, friends. I looked at you, you know, as a friend, Mike, man, because I would see you all the time in the locker room, you know, around practice and stuff. So, you know, I think sometimes when people think about like symbiotic relationships, you know, with the sports writers and journalists and stuff that come into the locker room, like you said, it's not like that now. It's a little bit different with the social media and how things, you know, kind of come out, you know. And, you know, we kind of referencing it last week on the whole Bienemy thing that came out with him. And, you know, everybody's going to have their own opinions about things. But when you're sitting down and having a conversation and talking to guys, you like actually getting to know someone, you know, then it doesn't have to necessarily come from a cousins, brothers, moms, uncles, nephew, and, you know, so it doesn't have to be that way. It's like, hey, look, Jason, you don't mind if I put this? No, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. Please. You know,
we definitely asked for permission back then. There was no gray area for us. I mean, it just wasn't worth it. You know, I got caught up in one of those rumor things and, you know, I had to sit out a year, you know, It was awful, and it taught me a valuable lesson. Now, whether or not I believed, you know, whether or not it was true or false or what the reasons were, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
There's a process and there's a way to do things. And, but I was welcome back and enjoyed another 10 years after that. So it's all good.
We got the birthday boy on now. Eric, what's
going on? Hey, Eric, what's up?
What up, fellas? My apologies. I won't be all long. I just got back home from playing golf. didn't play work shit, so... but I enjoyed the day. I got Herb take a shower and meet up with the family and friends. So I just wanted to hop on and thank Nick for replacing me tonight.
My pleasure.
I told him
big shoes to fill.
He gives a lot of good takes on Twitter. I like hearing his stories, like following him. And, you know, I think it's good we can have guys come on and fill in at times also. It's a good show. So thanks for coming on, Nick.
I appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for thinking of me. I appreciate it a great deal.
Now, look, I will say this. I don't know who you play with today, but they ain't let you win, man. It's your birthday. Better go get some dinner. I mean, come on. They could have.
Better buy you dinner if they didn't let you.
Yeah, man. Come on. Some shakes here and there, man. Come on.
Hey, I didn't lose anything, so that's all that mattered. I didn't have to pay for my green fee. And I didn't lose anything, so I enjoyed the day.
All right. Yes, well, cool. Sir. Cool. Yeah. Happy birthday, brother. You know.
I appreciate you, man. Yeah, appreciate you. Sure. Well, what topic are y'all talking about right now?
Man, we're just catching up. We just talking to, you know, Nick coming into the locker room, talking about our personal relationships and how things are different now, dealing with social media and how it was before, you know, during our era where, you know, we'll see Nick out or in the locker room and just talking about life and each other, man, you know, just, you know, guys just being guys, man, having a good time and just, you know, talking about different topics. And like he was saying, you know, there's a lot more depth to us just than like the little clickbait. You know, somebody on Twitter, like real quick, however many characters. I don't know. What is it? Like 180? I don't even know how many characters it is. However many. But
I think it's too many.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know? So that's where we at. That's where we at with it.
Yeah, it's completely different, man. Like, but everything about, I don't want to say everything, a lot about football has changed from what we know, from the physical aspect to what the rules are. To what you can do as far as practice, the amount of time you can be on the field, the amount of practices you can have. You know, weightlift is different. Like, everything's changed. You know, social media's played such a big part into the daily lives of what, you know, how players live and how they react to fans and how they don't react and how things can be overrated, overpopularized. And I don't know, it's different. Do I like it? I don't mind it. You know, we evolve. We adapt to things as they come into play. Would I have liked to have played when you don't have two-a-days and full pads? Hell yeah. But I wasn't in that era. I was in the era when we had full pads, double days, you know?
Right.
You got that. Yeah. Oklahoma drill. You miss the Oklahoma drills, don't you?
I all of it. You know, 3-hour practice days. Miss all that stuff. But yet, you know, I'm proud of what the game is, you know, it still is. You know, great game that we all love and enjoy, whether as a fan or as a player. You know, and we have a great team that we support. You know, hopefully, you know, after some things that we've seen that have failed over the last year, we can see that the team work on this year and it starts, you know, basically starts now.
Yep.
To correct a lot of those mistakes. And so
Going
into the draft, I'm excited. Always excited for camps and always excited for the season to start. So
I'm sure Brett Veach and Andy Reid will figure it out. I mean, free agency's coming, they can maneuver some money around. I think they're going to be a lot more active than people think, because once you taste that Super Bowl, I mean, I waited 50 years, you know, and I lived every minute in between, and it sucked. And I cried like a baby when the Chiefs won Super Bowl 54. I'm not going to lie about it. I mean, I was emotional.
Hey. Oh, I did, because
I was around at the, you know, when Hank Stram and, you know, that era, I was around those guys growing up as a kid. And, you know, I think Brett Veach and Andy Reid over the last 2 years have kind of seen what it's really going to take to get back there. And you can't have roster weaknesses. You can't have guys that don't fit the mold. You know, you got to have coaches all on the same page. I think if they're going to build a dynasty, they have to learn from what they went through the last 2 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And with that, we're talking about Brett Veach and, you know, Andy Reid and all this stuff. We're going to go to our first concern of the night. Eric, are you going to have time to stick around?
I'll go for the first. And then I got to go.
All right, sounds good, buddy. All right, so first topic tonight, after lots of speculation in our show, we talked about it last week, Eric Bieniemy is back. He signed a 1-year deal to stay as our OC. But we also brought in former OC and quarterback coach Matt Nagy to be our current quarterback coach, keeping continuity for Patrick, which is something that Andy Reid said they wanted to do, was keep continuity
right for
Patrick. But a weird report came out from Josina Anderson that would indicate there might be a bigger shakeup than just coaching changes. She tweeted, quote, "Things in Kansas City are going to be quite interesting to keep an eye on right after the NFL Combine and next season. Matt Nagy's addition will not only prove to be good timing to handle the upcoming allocation of duties, but also very well received by Patrick Mahomes." What does this report mean to you?
You know, I had a conversation with James Hasten. Sorry, Nick, if I'm going. So I
go ahead.
And James' question asked me about the hire, and he said, what was the issue going on with EB? Well, I don't know the inside story to what's going on to EB. We can all speculate as to what we think. And my belief before was I thought that, you know, EB was basically hanging around to be handed the keys to KC. I think he's way too talented to not have been given a job, but I'm not the guy doing the hiring. Would I like to keep him here with our offensive staff? Would love to, just because of what he's developed with Patrick and what he's turned Patrick and his offense into. So I'd love to keep him, but I would also like to see him grow and to become what he's dreamed of, and his passion, you know, is relating to these players and one day becoming a head coach. So Matt Nagy coming in here at this point in time, the things that I've kind of heard lately sends a signal to say that he might become the next head coach. I was thinking that EB would potentially take that job, but from a couple of guys that I've heard, you know, Nagy might be the guy to take over after Reed's departure. And I love Andy Reid, love him to death. I do think he's got a lot on his table to handle, on his plate to handle mentally, off the field football with his family, and also mentally with the things that are happening within the team. So I think that's got having a big effect on him, and it's probably taking a toll to where it's almost at that point to where he's ready to hang it up. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's quite ready to hang it up, but I agree with you. I mean, you've got, you know, the off the field issues that happened. You know, he's up there in age. You know, he's got a Super Bowl ring. He's cemented his place in the Hall of Fame. You know, now it's a matter of, you know, how can he manage all the things he has to manage between the players, the coaches, the family life. You know, he's a good person on top of all that. You know, but at some point, you know, when the Nagy rumor started like the day after he was let go in Chicago, you know, you kind of knew that this guy might be a guy who would come back to Kansas City. And I think what's key about this, I agree with you. I think he's probably going to be the head coach in waiting. I think the issue with Eric, regardless of what, excuse me, happened or didn't happen, you know, with all these things, is that he hasn't really had time to develop relationships in the NFL with coaches, with other teams. And I think that might have been one of the issues in the interview, because when he was with New Orleans, I mean, I kind of heard that he was pretty high up there. I mean, they were really interested in him. And one of the things that I had heard was that maybe he just hasn't developed those relationships. You know, what kind of staff are you going to put together? These are all things he has to learn how to do. And plus, you know, he's always going to be under the shadow of Andy Reid in Kansas City. So at some point, you know, we got to see what Eric, what he can do without Andy Reid, you know, over him or next to him or behind him. It doesn't make a difference. Everybody assumes that Andy's calling the plays and this is Andy's offense, and Eric is just kind of a facilitator of the message. But it isn't like he doesn't have input, and it isn't like he's not part of things. So it'll be interesting to see how how Nagy integrates himself, how much control he has. They still got a couple of coaching situations they need to resolve. So I think what Josina meant is those things are going to play out before the start of the new league year.
So, I mean, kind of hearing this, I don't know what she was quite referencing to. This is kind of one of those things like the cliffhanger I was talking about, as far as like, you know, some of the putting things out here and all, you know, wait and watch. And to be honest with you, you know, Matt coming back here was seemed like the you know, the natural thing. He's been under Andy since 2008. He's known him real well. But I think with Matt coming back and the enemy being re-signed for another year, I think this, to be honest with you, I'm thinking this is kind of like a toss-up. I don't know who's actually going to be at the helm next year or when Andy, you know, sits down, to be honest with you. That's how I look at it. I think sometimes what you do, where Bienemy hasn't really had a chance, an opportunity. I mean, he's had chances and opportunities. Nobody's really, you know, bid on to him. And I'll say this, you know, during this time combine and whatnot, this is where guys are actually talking. This is where all the coaches are up there, you know, having conversations, eating with each other, talking about the season. What do you think? What do you need? You know, I've been up there a couple of times, and that's all that happens during this time, yeah, is going and seeing other coaches, you know, GMs, owners of teams. This is the place that you go do it, right? This is the off season. This is where you do it during the combine, during this time. But I think when they look at Bienemy and you say, look, you got a year contract, year. And I think every year is just to say, is somebody else going to bite him? Is somebody else going to take him as being the head coach, right? You're going to get your opportunity. Yeah. Then it doesn't come. Now all of a sudden it's something else. Same thing. Interview doesn't come. Well, I know the Chiefs, they know him real well. And because of the things that was being said, you know, they had to dispel all the rumors. You know, Andy had to come out and say, look, man, all that things that everybody was saying wasn't true either. But, you know, we're glad to have Matt back. And it's all about delegating responsibility. Mm-hmm. So Andy brings him back and he calls him, I guess he's like the senior offensive coordinator, something like that. He's like a senior something, right? All right. He just gives him his title. And it's just like, okay, kind of ambiguous title. Like, what is, you know, what is that, right? But you know that it's going to be, you know, a combination of all these three guys getting in together. They just going to have fun. You know what I'm looking at right now is them having fun in an offensive meeting about putting things together. That's what I'm kind of looking at.
Yeah.
All the other things is going to work itself out. I don't know what's going to happen with EB, Nagy. Nick said, Andy, to me, doesn't look like he's ready to hang it up no time soon.
Not quite yet.
Yeah, I don't see no indication whatsoever about him doing that at all. And so to him, I think when you delegate the responsibility with Bienemy and then, of course, Nagy with Patrick, that's even, you know, less stuff for Andy to do. So he's just sitting back like he's going to just enjoy this entire season. It's all season. And he's just thinking, he's just putting these minds together to get these things done. But yeah,
I don't think he's ready to go though. I mean, like, what does he want to top three oldest? Him, Belichick, and my man out in Seattle.
He is, but you know, he has said this before, man. What is Andy going to do? He don't play golf like you do.
No other coach right now at that age, this age, has faced the things that he's gone through off the field, family wise. And so that's the only reason I say this, because, like, at his age, the things that your family is going through, has gone through, you know, the things that you go through as far as, especially with the, whether it's media or social media attention for the failures that we've had in the last couple of years, like, everybody at Chiefs Nation loves Andy Reid. We know that. But you're still taking hits for where you were, at least I thought we were the best team the last 2 years.
No doubt.
Honestly, thought we were the best two teams. And we've lost these last 2 years. And so you take all that and add it to what the stress of what's happening off the field with your family, you know, plus you're up there in age, you already got all these accomplishments. You're a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, like, yeah, you might want to go for one more ring, but what else is there for you to accomplish? You're not going to catch Belichick or anything.
No.
Right. That's a great point. I'm just saying I haven't seen any indication. And to me, I'm looking at it like, you know, for Andy, with all the things you're talking about he's going through, maybe off the field stuff, that this is his solace. Like being on the field, being around the locker room, being all those things is kind of like his escape from that reality where he's, you know, we know this. I mean, football family is just your family. That's all family right there. And so he has to separate himself from, you know, his family he's been with for this long. To say, man, I'm going over here now, and I got to sit down and figure out what I'm going to do, right? I mean, so I know he'll probably have a phone, little bat phone beside him, like, hey, they ain't calling the right guy. Hey, yo, this is Andy. You know, get in contact, be enemy with somebody, right? He might do some things like that, but I get it. Maybe, like I said, this is just that transition when you have two guys who without a doubt, has been a head coach, a guy who's been in talks of being a head coach, to say, Dan, I'm going to back away from this whole thing, and I'm just going to see how this thing works. I agree with you. That's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah, and I feel like as far as, I mean, Reed's been coaching for so long, he's finally got that quarterback. I mean, McNabb was a badass, and he had Vic, I mean, towards, you know, his career. But, I mean, he's been searching for so long to finally get Mahomes. You know, he went through A.J. Feely, Kevin Cobb, Mike McMahon, you know, so many of those guys. He's got Mahomes now. At least give it a few more years, you know. I mean,
age is age, man. When you get up there, no. you get to right now. He doesn't have the family time. I guarantee you, JD knows what goes into coaching. You don't get a lot of family time during the season or off season. So when you're at that point in your age, you accomplish so much, and yeah, you love to have something young and as talented as Patrick and what we created with the Chiefs nowadays to look forward to. But you know. You got some great years ahead of you to enjoy the rest of your life with your family too. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Andy should retire. If he's feeling healthy mentally and physically and thinks that he can take on, you know, another 5-10 years, I'm happy for him. That's just a little opinion, a suggestion. Like,
right. No, you know what? And you said something. You said something right there about himself. Remember he had that one.
He had a scare. He had to take the hospital.
So, yeah, if he wins one more, I think he may be out of it.
I think he's done. Yeah, no, if he wins one more, he's done. And I think the other thing, too, that, you know, I tried to warn, you know, after Super Bowl 54, I tried to warn all these people, listen, I spent 50 years. It could be another 50 years before it happens again. It is hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls. It's hard to win more than one. Well, you know what I'm saying. But, I mean, even with a generational quarterback, I mean, look at the struggles the offense have had and look at the, you know, the differences of opinions and, you know, some guys not developing the way they should and some free agents mixing and some don't. I mean, it is so hard to sustain a dynasty. I mean, the Cowboys did it. The 49ers did it. The Patriots obviously did it. But, I mean, Brady was, what, 30, 31? You know, he went 10 years between his Super Bowl. And I just – you can't take it for granted. And that's why I said what I said earlier. With Andy and Brett, I think they've learned some valuable lessons. But I agree with you, Eric. There's a clock. It's ticking. The guy's not going to coach forever. And there has to be somebody to step up. And I think that's why Nagy's here.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, another thing that I kind of overlooked, I don't say overlook. You know, mental health is a big deal nowadays, and we don't. Mm-hmm. Some of us aren't able to share. Some of us are able to come out and share because it helps. You know, I've had my issues in the years. You know, still dealing with some stuff mentally. But you know, when you have so much of what he's got on his plate, and again, I don't want to make it like I'm pushing Andy out. Right. I do want him to ride off into the sunset. I wish we could ride off and let him in with another Super Bowl. And I'm praying that this is our year. But I pray that for every year. But yeah, I just think that health-wise, you know, whether it's mental or physical, you know, it eats at a person. And at his age, I'm pretty sure he's affected somewhat by it.
How old is Andy? Does anybody know? How old is Andy?
I know 60, him and Carol and Belichick are the oldest.
62, 63, somewhere in there, I think.
53.
63. Well, yeah. I don't know. I still kind of young. I guess 65 is like that, you know? So
65 is retirement.
Yeah.
There it is.
Right. And, hey, like I said, hey, if you're sitting around like as a football coach and you got two capable guys beside you, right, that's calling everything around you, all you have to do is sit back like that and just win Super Bowls. Hopefully that's what he's doing.
we're about to find out.
Right.
I hope so. Yeah. Well, guys, I got to take off, man. Pleasure. Thanks again, Nick. I'll catch you guys next week.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Okay, thanks, brother. Man. All right. Thanks, enjoy yourself. Happy
birthday.
Yes, sir.
So I guess my last question on this topic is something that I, you know, I've been kind of thinking about. So, all right, Nagy was the OC and Bieniemy was the running backs coach when Nagy was the OC. Now Nagy's coming back as the quarterbacks coach. And then this, you know, this made up position, the senior offensive, whatever. But now we got Nagy's a former head coach. Now, you know, he's coming from Chicago. Now you got kind of three guys. And like what you said, Jason, I'm sure they're going to be excited, you know, to go into the room and, you know, make up plays and do all the things that coaches do. But ego, like we've said on the show, these coaches have egos. So you're going to have is there too many chefs in the kitchen? I mean, will there be some kind of, you know, a little bit of a riff there with, you know, when this guy wants to talk about this play, this one wants to call this play? You know, I mean, I don't know. Is that something that you could see happening to a too many chefs in the kitchen kind of thing?
I don't think so. And for the simple fact, because they all worked together before. And so once you've had a rapport with guys, it's a lot easier to communicate. You already know what guys are thinking. And I think this is one thing about this team with Andy, Bieniemy and Nagy having the same like-mindedness. I mean, they really are offensively. So I don't think it was going to be a whole lot of pushback. And especially, you know, how things work as far as communication, you know, during the season. They're gonna start all of this right now. And so when I'm talking about going in and just putting their hands, they all chefs, top chefs, putting their hands in and they dishing something up, right? And I guarantee, like every chef, they're gonna like what another chef is cooking. Ooh, I like that. Right. Yeah. Dial it up, right? Put that one in there. And so if somebody has to sprinkle a little bit more spice or some salt on, hey, go ahead and do it. And I think they all can be on the same page. And I think when Nagy was here the first time, you know, he had to coordinate with Childress. So this ain't nothing new for him, you know, doing something like that. And so with EB and Andy, it's been a collaborative effort all along. And we know Andy likes calling plays. He's been doing that since he's been in Philadelphia, just having that type of control. And so I think these guys understand it. I think that's the reason EB is back. Like I said, that's the guy that you know. That's the guy that you like. Nagy coming in. And because we had to understand how positive that is just for Patrick, right? Him having another quarterback, that mindset of just sitting down with him, where I think EB has, EB's going to a very tough attitude. And he look, I know EB, he ain't going to play with guys. He's, you know, he's going to be former player. He's going to be in them. Oh, what's up? But how'd you, you know, you ain't doing this. And sometimes, you know, maybe he's like, hey man, be easy on him. You know, Patrick's kind of, you know, soft talker, you know, he's not really one of those in your face Tom Brady guys, but we want to get the best out of him. And I think, you know, Nagy's got to do it.
I think one thing with Nagy too is you got to remember, look at what he did with Alex Smith. I mean, there wasn't a coach in the NFL that could make Alex Smith do the things that Nagy showed him how to do and taught him, being a former quarterback. Right. You know, he was with Patrick for his first year. So they were like, Patrick was in the room and he was constantly talking. And obviously Patrick signed off on, you know, bringing Nagy back. But I think the role between the three of them, you know, I think if the Chiefs start to focus on the running game again, which I think something they're going to have to do, they obviously left a lot of points and a lot of yardage on the table. Junk the stats, forget about touch, you know, forget about throwing for 5,000 yards and 60 touchdowns. Let's just win the game. And if teams are going to now do the Bengals defense, you know what? Then the Chiefs are going to run it down their throats. So what Eric is, I don't think there's any better running backs coach or a guy who gets in the face of the running backs, who develops running backs, like we did with Kareem Hunt. I mean, out of nowhere, this kid comes in and, you know, has an amazing rookie season. But I think they'll all have their roles. I think they'll all work together. And basically, Nagy has taken the Brad Childress role to some degree with an eye on the future. And remember, his, you know, Brett Veach, those guys were quarterback and running back on the same team. And right. They're very close. And I think if there is going to be movement, you know, to the time when Andy decides to step down, I think we'll look back at this time and Brett Veach is probably getting a little bit more involved in that aspect of it. I think Andy still is going to have the say, but, you know, reading between the tea leaves, looking at how this worked, the length of time it took for the Chiefs to decide to bring Eric back, all these things, you know, waiting on if Matt was going to come or not going to come, you know, he's in Africa on a safari kind of thing, whatever I believe that, you know, we're moving toward the direction where the Chiefs are looking, okay, what's going to happen to the organization 2-3 years down the road, because you're still going to have Patrick. So if Matt can really bond with Patrick over the next couple of years, maybe take over three in the third year, then they're going to have that relationship going in and you're not going to see a lag versus bringing in a guy like Harbaugh or, you know, somebody else who doesn't know the system, doesn't know the player, doesn't know the quarterback. So I think this is Brett Veach saying, you know what, we got to look to the future. And he's not going to coach forever. And in the meantime, this guy can help fix the offense.
Yeah.
I agree. What you said, you know, Veach and Nagy played in college at Delaware together. This week, the NCAA digital team actually ranked the top five Delaware football players of all time. And I think Nagy was number three on that list.
Yeah.
I guess my last thing on this topic, I just hope that there isn't, like, you know, if these two guys are the two potential candidates to replace Andy Reid, I hope that's not the elephant in the room where, like, these two guys are jockeying for position to be that next guy. You know, like, I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, I think they really, you know, kind of they want EB to be successful. And if he's not there at the Kansas City, they want him to have his own thing. And like I said, you know, when this auto comes out, I don't know. Right. We had to see, but I think
we're going to find out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So moving on to the next topic. So off season times, so there's always the rumors about players and all kinds of talk. But obviously looking at this year, one thing we talked about on the show constantly was pass rush and having a consistent pass rush, which we did not have. Tony Pauline of Pro Football Network reported this week that the Packers outside linebackers Za'Darius Smith could be a cap casualty. I think it saves them about $15.5 million if they were to part ways with him. And the rumors are swirling between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Ravens, which Za'Darius Smith did play for the Ravens before he was signed to a big deal with the Packers about 3 years ago. But he was hurt this past season. The years before that, he had a combined the last 2 years before that, they combined 26 sacks. The run game is kind of something he's a pass rush specialist. That's what he is. And that's what we need. But what are your opinions and thoughts on, potentially bringing in Za'Darius Smith to kind of clear up that edge rush, position for us?
Well, I like the fact his agent's the same agent as Patrick Mahomes. That helps.
Interesting.
You know, that's, you kind of put the tea leaves there where probably the rumor or the reports are coming from. But listen, he's been injured. That's a problem. But, you know, he didn't play for, what, 10, 11 weeks. And he came in the first game back in the postseason. He was dominant. So he's clearly got a motor. He's a younger version of Ingram. I think he's just, push the forgotten technique. Push the tackle back, you know. go between the tackle and the guard. Don't always go on the outside. I mean, he's a guy that understands, you know, the gaps and it would be a huge asset. I mean, obviously they're moving on from Frank Clark. I mean, that's not going to happen anytime soon. I mean, I think they're going to get rid of him here shortly. But Smith is a guy that you look at and you say, okay, you know, is he going to be an every down guy? Maybe you bring Ingram back. You draft a young guy. Maybe you go after Ogba, you know, from the who used to be with the Chiefs. He would be terrific on this defense too. It's going to be a combination of guys, but, you know, he's going to want a lot of money. They're obviously going to address the wide receiver position. That's going to cost him a lot of money too. So fortunately, they've got some cap maneuverability and some things they can do. But if the Packers let him go, partially because they're going to pay Aaron Rodgers a ridiculous amount of money on a one-year contract, then I think the Chiefs have a pretty good chance here. It's a matter if the medical guys sign off and, you know, is he healthy enough? Can he play at that position in the manner in which the Chiefs need him? And can be on the field, you know, in crunch time. But if they have a rotational system, even though you're going to have to pay this guy maybe $17, $18, $19 million a year, in my view, if he's healthy, he's totally worth it. He's the best pass rusher out there. And you know how Beach is. If he sees somebody as the best, he goes after him. And he got the best guard in Thuny last year. He hammered it away at Mahomes. You know, he knows what he's doing, and I would not be shocked if he's a Chief.
AD, what do you think? He's a Kentucky guy.
I know it, man. I love him here. He was at Kentucky, man. And I tell you what, man, he's a heck of a player. He's a game changer, no doubt about it. Great skill set, and like you said, man, he got hurt last year, but once he got back, it was almost like you was looking for Green Bay, was waiting for that piece to get back just to make themselves whole again. Man, he'll bring a lot here to Kansas City if he did. That's the thing about it, right? It's about moving the money around. What are you going to pay him? Like he's going to come at a hard, you know, a high price tag, no doubt about it. Just based off his potential, what he's done over the years. I don't think the injury in itself is going to, you know, really change how people are looking at him as much. I mean, it's something that, you know, he was able to, you know, kind of heal up from. And like I said, man, he came out and he played incredible when he got back. That's the thing with Veach, you know, he's going to be looking for some deals, right? He's going to be looking out here to see what he can really sparse through, you know, who's really out there. How can I get this guy down and whatnot? Because that was kind of part of the reason last year Ingram kind of came, you know, this way to us. Because a lot of guys, hey, we want to come play with the Chiefs. Beach was like, okay, hey, but you got to sign up for this. And he's like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah. Right? Money still matters.
Yeah, right. I like it. I don't mind going for a Super Bowl, but I know I can make this team over here better, maybe get them, make them a Super Bowl contender. So there's going to be some guys out here. I know they're going to be looking probably maybe – I don't think you get a guy in a draft, but you definitely got to get a guy that is a game changer on that side. You know, Frank, like you said, I think they're moving on for Frank, no doubt about it, save the cap space. And then, of course, it's going to be some good guys out here. I'm just looking right now at some names. I'm really looking at some of the top pass rushers out here and stuff like that. I don't know. Do you break the bank on him? Is that the guy, like – he's the guy we want, and we're going to keep him for a long time. That's the only thing. But I love him. I do, man. Like I said, he's a Kentucky guy. I've seen him, man. So he's a great player. He's a great player. Love to have him.
You got that Kentucky. You should be texting him right now.
That's tampering. You can't do that, JD.
Oh, well, yeah, I know it. And,
no, he, you
know,
can't. Might, he won't get in trouble.
Yeah, somebody talk to me. Hey, Beach, what do you want him for? How much? Okay, I got you. Like, 10% finest fee.
Get your cut.
Well, I think even if we do, like, let's say $16 million, that's a deal compared to what we were paying Frank Clark. You know, I mean, say if you look at it from that point of view, it's like, okay, that's solid. But I mean, right, with Spags' system, because I've seen so many fans online saying fire Spags, fire Spags, fire Spags. It's like if you look at Spags when he was a D coordinator in New York, he had a whole platoon of pass rushers, and that is something he has not had since he's been in Kansas City. He hasn't had a whole platoon of guys who go get the quarterback. Right. If, let's say we don't get Zadarius Smith. Let's say we go get, you know, I know it's not going to happen. We sign Justin Houston for a little bit. We sign Melvin Ingram for a little bit. We sign, you know, maybe spend a little bit on Von Miller, for example. That's three guys right there who go get the pass, go get the quarterback.
Rotate.
You know, so.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's the thing with Spags. I mean, he just, yeah, that Giants defensive line and those guys rotating. I mean, they run in that Super Bowl, they rushed four guys the whole game. And they just rotated them in and out, and they just beat Brady into the ground. If the Chiefs want to win Super Bowls, want to build a dynasty, you know, they mostly fixed the offensive line. I still think there's some things that they have to do, but the defensive line has been woeful. And then it brings the question is, you know, you got a guy like Chris Jones, who's a great guy, a great player, but he didn't do squat in the postseason, you know, for a variety of reasons, mainly because he didn't have any help in the pass rushing, enough anyway.
Right.
And, you know, Clark kind of disappeared, and, you know, Ingram did what he could, but he's not an every down guy. And so they, if they can fix that, they can make Jones more productive. You know, they can make him a better player. He doesn't have to be double and triple teamed, you know, if they've got outside, but I think a rotation is going to be key, because you've got, you may spend some money on a guy, you know, like Smith. Personally, I think Von Miller would be a terrific addition to this football team. I think he's always wanted to be a Chief. I know he loves Patrick Mahomes. And I think that would be a good fit. So they're going to have to mix and match him. They got Kanda, they got last year. He's kind of an unknown. We really don't know what he can turn into. But being around Ingram, if they sign him, that'll help. But they, if they're going to keep Jones in particular, they got to build a better defensive line around him. They're going to have to address nose tackle as well, probably. And there's going to be so many guys available even before free agency begins that they're going to be able to be aggressive with and maybe get a little bit better deal. But I'm confident they're going to fix that defensive line. They're not going into the season and not addressing a defensive line in the same manner they addressed the offensive line last year.
Yeah. You just can't. And like you were saying about Chris, I mean, he just needs help, you know, inside and out. He really does. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, him trying to do is just all by himself. Yeah. I mean, you can see kind of like the frustration, and it's just more pounding on him too. So like you were talking about, like, you know, Spags, when he uses that rotation, you're looking for fresh guys, but guys coming in who are hungry, right? Who's going to get after the ball. And I could see just what we, this past year, we weren't getting that. You seen kind of the rotation. You just, guys just weren't showing up. And so Kando, jury's still out on him. I don't see the fast twitch. I don't see that from him. And maybe he's gotten better. Hopefully he's worked out where he's getting better every single day with these guys. But that fast twitch, I don't really quite see it from him. He doesn't look like a dynamic guy. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I'm just thinking what they want and what they're looking for, he didn't necessarily provide it. And so
I think
you get a guy on the outside. You got to get him free agency. Inside guy, maybe free agent, you can actually get a D tackle in the draft. And I think you draft high with a guy like that. So that's the way I look at it. You definitely got to sew up that defensive line. You have to. If you want to be a Super Bowl contender, you got to start there. Everything's talking about winning in the trenches. Like you were saying, Nick, you know, maybe offensively, maybe some things you need to talk about. But those the trench game, that's where everything is played at. That's where you win, you know, the games. I mean, seriously.
Look in your day. I mean, you had that.
Yeah.
You know, you had an offensive line, and you had a solid defensive line, and you had guys who just, you know, they got it. They knew their roles in the positions, and they were able to bring guys in and out and rotate and fill some spots here and there. But, you know, that's just, you know, it is so hard to build a complete roster. You have to be lucky. Right. You know, the Chiefs are in a good position now because the last two drafts have been pretty good. So they can go splurge in free agency, and they can trust their scouting system that they're going to have another quality draft. Because they'll have a plethora of cap space this year, next year, and the year after, and they're going to need guys to fill that roster, you know, because I think they only have like 13 or 16 guys under contract a year and a half, 2 years from now. So, you know, you got to rebuild. And so for right now, like I said, the last 2 years they've learned, they've seen it. You know, we were deficient at the offensive line. We've kind of always been deficient on defensive line, but we made up for it the best we could. because the secondary was relatively good in spurts. They brought Matthew in. He kind of solidified things back there. But you're right. If they don't fix the defensive line, you know, we're going to be having the same conversation a year from now.
Right, right.
It just goes to show you, you know, we brought in Melvin Ingram, who a lot of people say he's washed, you know, and yeah. He was a huge difference maker. And that was you know, a guy who's not his prime anymore, pass rusher, who came in and, like, he looked like, you know, there was some life there, you know. Mm-hmm. And you bring in some guys with some talent, like some of the guys we mentioned, Agba, Von Miller. Give me two or three of any of the guys we've mentioned.
Yeah.
I think we're set.
They'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah, they'll be good.
What's more important than peace of mind? Nothing. And that's what NordVPN is here for, to give you peace of mind while you are online. And with all of the threats that you face today on the internet, it's more important than ever to be sure that you have the best VPN you can get. NordVPN is the world's best VPN service, offering the fastest connectivity, most servers, and next-gen encryption to make sure that everything you do online stays secure. Plus, you can use NordVPN on all of your computers and devices, no matter the operating system. With NordVPN's unlimited bandwidth, you never have to worry about a slow connection either. And plans start at under $4 per month. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/believe or use the code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV to get up to 70% off your NordVPN plan, plus one additional month for free. It's also risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Tons of people take multivitamins, but it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's also lifestyle friendly and fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's BLEAV. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health.
Moving on to the final topic of the night. It's NFL Combine week. And there's kind of a trend going on here that we've kind of seen over the last few years. Obviously with COVID and, you know, just last year, I think there was no combine. So this is back now. And a lot of top prospects are not going to be doing any of the on-field workout this week. And a lot of them are going to be saving that for the pro day. Now, I wanted to ask you, what do you make of some of the top prospects opting out of doing the field work and just waiting until the pro day? JD, what do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
That nothing's changed. this is the combine. Usually have top guys that won't lift or run or jump, and you know they stand up. I decline to do 225, or it happens every year. My year, you know, it's 1996, and so every single year, a guy realizes, like, look, if I come there, all I'm gonna do is I'm gonna sit down with the coaches, let them know who I am. You know, kind of talk and see what the staff is like, kind of go through this process, and then don't do any workouts. But I think it has to do a little bit more now because of the parameters with, you know, COVID and what they're trying to say. And I think a lot of it is kind of the agents pushing back as well, because this whole bubble thing, and I tell you, I've been to the combine a few times, you know, and just kind of seeing how everybody's working around, that's going to be a hard thing to do, like as far as it being a bubble. And, you know, because guys want to go out and eat. They want to go other places and talk to a lot of different people and whatnot. So trying to control those guys, agents don't want that to happen. They just don't, like, no, there's no way I'm not going to be around my client during this time, talking to him, mm-hmm. being in his ear, getting him, you know, ready for, you know, these all these interviews. I got to get these guys prepared. And so sometimes when you do things on your own turf, you know, you just feel a little bit more comfortable. And I think you can control things a lot better. And so I'll just go back to my pro day. When I was in Indianapolis for the combine, I did fairly well with a lot of my of the tests. I didn't run my 40 as fast as I wanted to, but when I got back to my home turf, man, I mean, I blew it out the water. What I was used to, you know, 4.45. That's what I was doing. 4.5.
Yep.
And so it's those things that you know, you like I said, you're at home, and so it's like you coming and doing a test at your home. You know, go fix you some soup or a sandwich. You know, kick your feet up. You know, have a nice old time. So I think it's part of it, man. But I think part of it, yeah, the parameters also too kind of. Did a little bit in that they really didn't want to, adjust to. And I think that was like one of the main reasons, one of the problems. And I think a lot of it came from the agency in itself.
Actually, the NFL, they got a lot of pushback on it. Like you said, they get a lot of pushback on the bubble concept. They ended up pitching it. So there was no bubble at the combine this year.
Okay.
They ended up pitching because of the pushback that they got from it. And I think they were fearing that more top prospects were going to opt out of it because – Like you said, pretty much every year there's always the top prospects that opt out of certain field work. But this year, more so than ever, that they're seeing more top prospects do it, kind of more so than ever kind of thing. So that's where that question comes from. But Nick, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's interesting. I remember the first combine I went to, it was Joe Flacco was the hot name and the hot topic, and I had never been before. I didn't know what to expect, and so. I walk into the room and there's coach. I've never seen that many coaches in a single room. And there's a stage. And here starts walking these guys out in their underwear.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, turn your head and cough. And I really thought that was coming next. And I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. And I thought to myself, this is so degrading. And it was, you know, I asked an Asian friend of mine, I said, is it always like this? And he goes, yep, this is the way they do things in the NFL. You know, it's the good old boy network. They want to see these guys, you know, out of their shirts and their pads. And they want to know if it's an offensive lineman, you know, how many pounds they got to shed around the waist. And, you know, the quarterbacks, they want to look at their arms and their upper body strength. And I'm just like, well, you know, I mean, when do you lose sight of what's in the heart of a player? You know, we still talk to him and we make sure, but back then, I mean, it was all in the lobby. You know, you didn't have appointments and you didn't have, you know, you had agents who were like going, okay, go talk to that coach. I mean, no, you go over there and you introduce yourself and tell me you want to play for your team. I'll work out the rest. It was a whole lot different. And the media was in there and we could see everything. And, you know, we could talk to all these coaches, you know, and now it's obviously it's a lot different, especially with the pandemic and all the things that have gone on. But, you know, you've seen over the last 5 or 6 years, especially think about how televised this is. Every aspect of everything these guys do now is recorded and people can watch it. The average fan can look at it and say, oh, that guy's really fast, or someone's going to do something crazy, or someone's going to, you know, do a miraculous thing and you're going to remember it. You know, back then in my day, in Jason's day, it wasn't quite like that. You know, it was all relying on the coaches and the scouts and you had to really trust them. And, but they were thorough, but now it's, you know, now it's a different age. You've got all this tape on these guys. You've got the access to the high school coaches and the college coaches. You got access to teammates. You rely on a lot more things than you used to, but you still, at the end of the day, have to trust your scouts. But you know, I think that's one thing the Chiefs have done a really good job at is, you know, looking at that heart of that player. And, you know, you look at a Humphreys and a Bolton just from this last year. You know, Willie Gay, you know, he came into the league with some issues. And what did they do? They spent a lot of time with him. You know, even going back to Marcus Peters, you know, he was a guy who was in trouble in school. And they went out and they just put it to him and they talked to him and they got to know the guy and got to know the kid. You know, had his situation been a little different with some of the coaches in Kansas City, maybe, you know, he's still playing there. But you can't lose sight of that. And I think the Chiefs do that really well. But it's a different age, you know, it's media driven now. You know, I still say every draft picks the roll of the dice. You know, your first pick to the seventh pick, you have no idea. You know, a lot of people said Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to be that good, or he was too much of a drifter, and, you know, he couldn't do set plays. And, you know, then everybody was obviously proven wrong. And there's been guys who've been drafted in the first 3 or 4 picks that play 1 year and you never hear from them again. So, it's a tough job. And then you got to look at the, you know, where they went to school. I think it's a big thing. I mean, look at the Chiefs. They focus on the SEC. They love the SEC. They're coached well there. There's all good coaches there. They understand a pro system. They understand expectations. They know how to win. They've been winning.
Yes.
You know, that's something that's shifted quite a bit, you know, in the organization since Brett took over, is you're starting to see, you know, yeah, we'll take the guys from Delaware. You know, we'll take some of the small school guys in the later rounds and take our chances. But we want guys who played in a big conference, understand what it's like, so they can bridge that gap. And Humphreys and Bolton are two guys that came in and, you know, immediately were starters. And Trey Smith, I mean, you look at those guys just in particular, where did they come from? Big time schools with big expectations. And the game wasn't too big for them. And the transition from college to the NFL wasn't something that they could not handle. And obviously they did.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, and just kind of going back to what you was talking about, man, it's a meat market. No doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, we are pulled out there in our grays. I remember a guy, you know, a scout, you know, just kind of checking over me and just like, oh yeah, yeah, I like that. Look at his hands and, you know, checking my hands and stuff. I'm like, man, what is this? It's going on. And it blows your mind because, you know, you're a commodity and it's really what they're looking at your skills and your body. That's what they want. And so, like you said, you know, when you do have a kind of appointment to go in and talk to these teams, that's an intimidating factor also, because you come right in. And I remember going into my meeting and they went through everything, you know, from when you're a kid to where you are now, everything they've heard or whatever they thought they heard. And, you know, is this true? What do you think? And, you know, then I ask you like crazy questions just to see your response. Right. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. What's that got to do with football? And they're trying to gauge who you are as a person. Right. How do you respond to it? But like you were saying, you know, Bolton and Trey Smith, SEC guys, right? And so, like you said, we want a guys who come in, who played, you know, big time ball and is a winner. You know, and like that's mindset too. Mentality of winning is a mindset. Once you become a winner right here, you expect to win. You come in wanting to win. And so they know that. We know a guy who's like, look, they're not going to give any bones. They're going to work hard. They're going to look to be a winner each and every time. And they hate to lose. And so they always want to try to get guys like that into your program. I think that's a wonderful thing that you can do and build off of, especially with a pro team, getting a guy in like that. But, man, yeah, no doubt about it, Nick. Man, this thing is a meat market. It is a crazy thing. And it's just easy access now, like you said. Social media, people just sitting out there, they're taking the pictures. And that's what blew me away, too, because – here you got NFL Network up here and then other guys up here. And it's just, oh, I was like, when did they start on this production? When did they start doing this?
Where all these cameras come from?
Yeah. I was just, man. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, but when you're at home, you control all of that, right? Hey, you ain't got the credentials. Who are you? Well, no, sorry. You can't come in. You can't see anything. And so you just got to sit and wait outside. So, That's the thing about, you know, being in your own home, you know, in your own stadium at you know, the college or wherever you're working out. It's going to be very secluded, very private, and nobody's going to be able to get in. It's just they make sure they control that. It's a controlled environment.
Right.
Yep. And if you look at, like, you know, during the combine, they'll show the coaches in the bleachers. And you got, like, you know, Bill Belichick with binoculars, a famous gif of him, you know, with binoculars, like eating a sandwich, like looking like a peeping Tom, you know, next door. So, yeah, it's funny the way they treat you guys, but, like, you know, it's weird. You know, if you were taking like a foreign alien to put them in like a room to see what was going on there, they'd be just shocked to see what was going on inside of a combine, you know, like looking at you guys like a meat market. But no, going to what you said though about Nick, about what you said about the Chiefs kind of the scouting department. Now, going back to Kelce, he had problems in college. Tyreek also had, you know, some problems there as well. And then, you know, not only problematic stuff like that, but the medical issues. I mean, Trey Smith is a great example of that. You know, everyone stayed away from him because of the medical issues. But with our scouting department, we kind of, you know, we were safe to draft him with fifth or sixth round last year. So, I mean, yeah, right. No, I definitely trust our staff as far as seeing what's in here beyond, you know, beyond all the other stuff, all the other elements.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Kelce, I mean, you know, he obviously was around the Eagles a lot with his brother being with Andy. So, you know, he knew him as a kid. And, you know, that was really a no-brainer. They knew he was immature at the time he was drafted and he would take some time to develop. And it took him, you know, it took him 3-4 years before he finally said, I can't be that guy anymore. I got too much. I got too much ahead of me. I want that big payday. You know, he got injured the first year and all these things. But, you know, with Trey Smith, it was like all the medical people felt like, you know, that this was worth obviously a sixth round pick. You know, and they were fortunate that he was still there. But I think they got the message that most of these teams were going to stay away from him. And, you know, so I think, again, you have to look at the complete player. And there's a lot of gamesmanship going on, too. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, conversations that take place with coaches. You know, I'm sure Andy talked to the Tennessee head coach and the position coach. And, you know, they obviously had him on their board and they had other needs at the time. So he just kept sliding and sliding. And they said, well, you know, now we got to take him. But, you know, the Chiefs didn't draft very well in the first couple of years with Brett Beach. I think there were some issues, a lot of carryover from the Dorsey era. A lot of pluses and minuses to some of the things that Dorsey did. But I think once he kind of felt like it was his team, you know, he could make those changes and maybe look at the scouting department differently and maybe look at these guys in a different light. You know, after all, this is the guy who brought Patrick Mahomes to the organization. Without Brett Beach's tenacity, you know, I don't think Patrick's a quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's earned a certain right and a certain cachet. But I think the more of those kind of instincts he has, which he displayed more so over the last 2 years. That's why the Chiefs have depth. That's why they filled some holes. That's why they've been able to sprinkle in free agency and make splashes, you know, to bring guys in. But this is not going to be an easy offseason, Marcus. It's just not going to be. You've got a lot of things. You've got the expectations of the franchise. You've got the fact that they haven't gone back to the Super Bowl in the last 2 years when they were in one and they lost. And then they, you know, the championship game, they should have won. They play that game 99 times out of 100. They're going to win it. Yeah. The one time they played poorly, they lose it. So, again, these are all learning things. But, you know, they've got to shore up the defensive line. They got to find a pass rusher. They got to find one, probably two wide receivers. They got to find another corner. All things they can do if they maneuver their cap properly and they make some adjacent adjustments, convert, you know, Patrick Mahomes' money. So it's there for them to do. But they have to hit, but they have to continue to hit in the draft as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, you're building for the future and you got to make sure that something is continuous, but you have to win right now. Like you said, the last couple of years has been a letdown, not winning at all. And I think people are hungry for it. They know like that. That's what is expected. And that's the pressure they feel.
Yeah.
But I think they'll get it done. I think, but you know, with the young guys coming in, you're like, hey, yeah, this guy, is it going to make immediate impact? I don't think anybody – I didn't see Trey Smith starting this year. I didn't see – no. I didn't. I don't think anybody seen him starting this year. And see, he just came in and just did a tremendous job, wonderful job. he's going to get better, right? There was something – you can see rookie things, and I was like, you know, he still had to learn because there's some big boys up there now. He's with the big boys. So he's still learning, you know. But Bolton, same thing. Came out you know, did a tremendous job. So like you said, it's a hit and miss because you don't quite know what you're going to get in the draft. That's why you get a guy who is proven in free agency. You got to make sure that hits in itself. You know, that's one you can't miss, the free agent guy.
Yeah, and you have to get the guys in the prime. You can't, you know, I loved Carl Peterson to death. You know, I thought he was a cool dude. You know, we had a lot of conversations, but these, you know, get him cheap at 30, 31, 32, and hopefully you get a couple years out of him. You know, Brett really changed that. I mean, he went after the 25, 26 in your prime free agents. Yeah. You know, I think that's important. And then you sprinkle in the veterans. You know, that's what he's learned. And he's done that, you know, in the last 3 years in their quest to go to Super Bowls. And I think that has to continue this year as well. But you've got to bring in guys that you know can do what they're supposed to do, pay them the right amount of money. I mean, you look at Thuney as an example. Is that too much money for an all-pro guard? Probably, to some degree, if you look at it. But look what he bought. And look what he did at left tackle against the Bengals.
That's personally the thing. Speaking, right.
You know, you got a guy who can play anywhere in the offensive line. He'd probably play center if he has to. With a broken hand.
Yes, yes.
All season long, that's the kind of guys you build a franchise around. That's why I think re-signing Gordon is so important. Because he's one of those kind of guys, you know, mm-hmm. that can bring everybody, make everybody better. So like I said, it's going to be a fun off season. It's starting now. Beach is talking to agents, I'm sure. You know, players are texting each other back and forth. All these gamesmanships that goes at the combine, that's really, really the start of free agency. So I think they can get it done. And I said this about a year ago. If the Chiefs ever have a complete team, they will make a run at the Dolphins undefeated season. And I think they're maybe a year or two away from having that kind of team that can do that.
I hope so.
Someone's going to do it eventually.
Somebody's going
to. If a 16 seed can beat a one seed, that's just off you years ago in the NCAA tournament. Somebody's going to go undefeated again. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Nick, before we go, I know you know you got an ear all over the place. Some of the agents in the NFL. Are you hearing anything as far as maybe bringing in a certain receiver? I mean, have you heard anything?
You know, I think you know, Juju would be a good addition. You know, I think he liked to play for the Chiefs. He almost came a year ago. You know, Mike Williams might be available. He'd be a terrific fit for the Chiefs. That big bodied receiver. You know, they have to. And plus, you have to look at their position in the draft. You know, you got 5, 6, 7, 8 wide receivers that are all worthy of first round picks. You got the boys from Alabama, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's Williams if he slides late because of the injury. Heck yeah. I don't care if he can't play till November. Who cares?
Really?
You know, if you have contract problems with Tyreek Hill, you know, you got to have an heir apparent. You got to have, again, what Jason said earlier, you got to look at the Chiefs really have never looked at the roster until recently. Okay, what happens 2-3 years from now? What happens 4 years from now? Because you can't pay and sign everybody. But, you know, I think Juju is a possibility just because I think he was so close to coming here last year. Now, is he a number one guy? No. Is he a number two? Probably. But, you know, that's why I think they're going to sign at least 2 veteran wide receivers. I think they have to. You know, I love the Pringle stories. And, you know, I love those guys. And, you know, Fountain, and you know, they're all really good. But you got to have more weapons for Patrick Mahomes. Losing Sammy Watkins was a killer to this offense. And they have to replace that. Juju can do that, but I still think they need to go further. Give him 3-4 wide receiver options. Look at the Bengals. They got the best wide receiver class, I think, in the NFL. Maybe the Rams with Odell Beckham. But you look at what they did in that playoff game. Okay, yeah. We stopped this guy. We stopped the third guy. Guess what? The fourth guy. Look at the Bills. Same thing. You know, they had 4 quality wide receivers, and they had a guy out of nowhere who just had a game of his career. And so the Chiefs can't, you know, they can't be missing a position if they want to be successful. And if they want Patrick Mahomes to be successful and to be more efficient, you can't rely on Kelsey. You can't rely just on Hill. You know, Hardman, I think, stepped up. I think Hardman's worth keeping now. I think he's proved himself. Had they thrown the ball more in the championship game, they probably win that game because he was open all game long. So, to me, a Williams, a Juju would be my top 2 guys. Beckham, if he's healthy, if he can be 100% by September, October, I think they would take a look at him too. So I think 1 young guy, maybe 1 older guy, and then they're definitely going to draft a wide receiver. I would be shocked if they didn't draft 1 in the first 2 rounds.
Well, we still got the Powell, you know, drafted him. Mm-hmm. They were talking about the other guy that we had gotten in. I can't think of his name right now, but I think you do. You got to get a guy in free agency. You got to get a main guy, right? Yeah. Tyreek Hill, I think you keep here. I just, you know, he's a talent. He's one of those talents you just can't let go.
Let's hope so.
If you get a guy like that, and like you said, get another solid guy that could kind of step up, I think you give him enough weapons. And even what do you think as far as running back wise? I mean, because we're talking about also too. Look, and I think this is where we miss out. I want to say this. I think offensively, and it's just kind of Andy's offense, what it's been, you know, from Philly kind of to here, it's the kind of deal, is where we don't run the football enough. We need to establish it even more. And I think the last time that we had one of those solid runners was Kareem Hunt when Kareem was here. It was, you know, yeah. Hey, that was, you couldn't help but give him the ball. I mean, you just couldn't. Yeah. So.
They got to go back to that. I mean, listen, I'm not defending anybody for their actions on or off the field. It's not me to be judge and jury. You know, a guy like Hunt, if the Browns let him go, do the Chiefs take a look at him? I mean, I say, you know, take a look at him, see where he's at. Again, he's got the same agent as Patrick Mahomes. So you look at all these tea leaves here, but you look at Andy's offense that year, Alex, and even with the Patrick was there until, you know, Hunt had his issue off the field, they were humming.
Yeah,
I mean, he was unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he has a role. I like McKinnon. I think he has a role. I'm not sure about Darrell Williams. I think that might be done with. I think they need to get that kind of running back like a Hunt. And I think they have to put him in a situation where he can run, catch, put him in motion. He's tough. He's physical. I mean, he was the most physical runner I've seen in Kansas City in a really, really long time. You know, you have to go back to probably Barry Ward and Christian Okoye as far as his physicality goes and pushing guys over and jumping over guys and just saying, you're not getting me down. You're not putting me on the ground. And I think that's another hole that's missing. You know, I've heard they've scouted running backs pretty extensively. So, again, not shocked if they take another running back. Maybe put Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a little different role, a little different position. I think they bring McKinnon back because I think they have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if he's healthy, you know, I think he could definitely help out. But I'm with you. I think the running back is not as important as finding, you know, one or two top shelf wide receivers. But if they can get a running back like Hunt, or if Hunt becomes available, I think it's a conversation internally they have to have.
Yeah, I think what, you know, having a running back that way, you keep the defense honest. Now you're not dropping, you know, 7 or 8. You just can't do it.
Oh, yeah. They'll never happen like that. Again.
Right. No. Yeah. So that opens up everything, the whole passing game, and then all of a sudden your whole offense opens up, right? Because you have that guy in the back who hit his head on the goalpost anytime he get a chance to. I mean, like you said, he's a powerful, you know, runner. And I remember Kareem up there at Toledo. A boy who's his son, Logan Woodside, who plays at Tennessee, they played together. And I used to go up there to games. I was like, man, this dude right here is hard to bring down. He was just a tough, tough runner. And he just, yeah. I don't care how many times you hit him, he just had balance and he was hard to tackle. And he brought that to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, you know, as far as going back to him, but I'm sure they're looking for somebody who is a staple in that backfield because you definitely got to have him. And I think, because of what ended up happening, this last Super Bowl we lost and this past game we lost in the playoffs was all because the running game just wasn't there. We didn't gel like it should have, you know. So
they didn't give him the ball. Yeah. You got to put the ball in the running back's hands.
You have to.
When you're averaging 6, 7, 8 yards a play. You know, you have to just keep running. It's like if you go back to the Titans game, you know, in the AFC title game, what did Andy do in the second half? He ran the ball 8, 9 straight times. And then he ran the ball again, and he just kept running the ball. And then what happened at the end of the game? He hits Watkins for that big pass. So,
yeah.
You know, you have to – and Damon, you know, Williams was good for this team. I mean, he was a perfect fit scheme-wise. He could block. He could run. He could catch. He could slip out in the back. You know, he was that perfect kind of guy. And, you know, they kind of had a falling out, and then they signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it just didn't work out the same. And that's no knock on them. But you got to remember, too – the way this offensive line was constructed this past year, you know, it was really, hey, we got to pass protect Patrick. That's the number one concern. And what did we find out? Hey, they can pancake guys like you used to do.
Yeah,
they can put guys on the ground.
Yes.
They can shove them out of the way. There are holes that I can run through
right.
15 yards.
Yes.
You know, and it just – and so I think that's where, you know, Bieniemy and Nagy are going to work together this year is one of those things to say, okay, we can do that because those guys can do it. Because in the old days, man, you know, Rofe, you know, Willie was the most – I hate to go off topic, but I got to share the story. Willie was the single most incredible athlete I had ever seen in my entire life.
I agree.
Because I remember in the locker room, I'm not kidding you, we used to time how long it took for him to get from – the shower to his locker. He walked so slow. He walked like, you know, one step, two step, three step. And I asked Herm, and I said, is he okay? And I'm like, I mean, Herm, how can you count on a guy like this? He could barely walk back to his locker. The game came on, and he's just, he didn't first level knock you out of the game. He went second level. He wanted to bury cornerbacks after he got rid of the outside guy. I've never seen anybody do that in my entire life, to where his physical limitations were so great, and he managed on game days to overcome them. And I don't think people understood how hurt he was, how many injuries he had, how many issues he had with his legs. And he just mauled. And it was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen. And I said to him one day, I said, why do you keep playing? He goes, I just love to hit people. You know, you can't argue. Yeah. Plus, he's this massive individual like you are. And it's just like you're looking up and going, yeah, I can see that. But he was pound for pound, from what he was dealing with to what he did on the field. That was the most incredible thing I ever saw in my tenure.
Yeah. Hey, man, look, I play beside him. And when I'm looking at guys and I'm sitting there like, man, I appreciate Willie so much about the way he could just move, you know, communication, you know, when Willie was funny too. Things he would say out there on the field, and like, man, he's just a funny guy, man. Just, I mean, all around, just great guy, great guy. But you talking about, like you said, the snap, when that football was snapped, different animal. And I'm talking about, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
You knew who was the best out there, who was going to win the majority of those battles. It was going to be Willie. No doubt. I mean, it's just, he made it look easy, man. It's crazy.
Even watching him go from the huddle to the left tackle position. I mean, it's like they're waiting on him to get set.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and that was it. He just turned into a completely different human being. He was a joy to watch, man. He really was.
Oh yeah.
Would you say he's probably one of the best left tackles of all time? I mean, he is obviously amongst the tops, but when you play, because I mean, there was Jonathan Ogden and Willie Rofer, kind of top two names everyone would kind of talk about as being the best left tackles of that era. Mm-hmm. Who would you say of those two? Obviously, you're kind of biased there, but
yeah, I mean, look, I know Jonathan, watched him play, and he was incredible too, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, man, both those guys are solid, but yeah, I'm gonna be biased, man. Willie, man, what I used to watch him do, and he didn't let anybody around him. I never seen that. No. And I'm talking about like his blocking ability and getting out on the edge, pulling. Woo. So I don't know if I seen Jonathan do as much as that of that, because that was just kind of our offense, that like our whole mm-hmm. offensive line, every single one of those guys can move up front. Every single one of those guys could pull. You don't really see it as much now. So I just know what I've seen from Willie. To me, I mean, he is without a doubt top of echelon, no doubt about it. The best.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, you know, you put him in the Munoz category. You know, he was just unique and different. And, you know, look at, you know, his time in New Orleans. And, you know, granted, he wanted to get out of there and wanted to find a fresh home. And, you know, Peterson made that happen for the Chiefs. And that changed the offensive line. You know, that changed it. That changed everything. And those are generational guys too. You know, look at the left tackles today. There's some really, really good ones, but there's no Willie Roper. Right. There's not even three quarters of a Willie Roper. Half of a Willie Roper. Right. You know, there's some good. Trent Williams gets pretty close, but there's nothing like that. There's no human being that was as talented at both pass blocking, run blocking, and second level blocking. I mean, I can only imagine with the two of you side by side and just sit there and go, you probably gave each other that look. It's done.
You got a JD? You got a JD? You got a JD? Yeah, I got it.
I'm going to get the next guy in front of me. Take care of this guy. I bet that was so much fun, man.
Oh, man. Joy. Absolute joy. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Nick, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in. Chief Concerns presented by BetOnline. Nick Athan from PrimetimeSportsTalk.com. It was honestly awesome having you on tonight.
Yes, sir.
Great feeling for E. Nick, it was amazing having you on, buddy.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you both. Jason, great seeing you again. Marcus, thanks for the invite. And Eric, thanks for the invite as well.
Appreciate it, Nick, my brother, man. Hey, look, man, I enjoy seeing you, talking to you, man. We got to do this again, no doubt about it, man. But
okay,
man,
I'll reach out to you too.
Okay, man. Love you, man. Seriously. Love you.
Love you, too. Right? Appreciate you, Jason. Thank you so right. much. Thanks Great lot, seeing man. You. Right.
Have a good night, fellas.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.